Today's reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, foaled of the donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them, so Jesus could sit on them. A very large crowd spread their coats along the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I think most of you know I'm Colin. I'm a member of the ministry team here. Let us begin by praying. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you and learn from your word. And this story, Lord, which we've heard so many times, which we've seen played out in school assemblies and other church activities, we thank you that we're familiar with it, but help us, O Lord, to learn from it, and especially to see Jesus as our King. Amen. Okay. So, Jesus enters Jerusalem. Story that we've heard so many times. It's just 5 days before Pentecost, the most important day in the Jewish calendar. And Jesus has spent the last couple of years in Galilee, where he has gathered together a team of disciples and acquired a huge crowd of followers. The whole country is under the domination of the Roman Empire. Life is hard. The Romans oppressed the people. The soldiers would press anyone in the street to carry something for them or to do any other task without being paid. They, or their Jewish collaborators, would exact payment over and above the agreed tax. An undercurrent of resentment and rebellion is leading to an outbreak of revolutionary groups, including the Zealots. Some people are attracted to Jesus as he preaches a totally different message, a radical message. Where various groups have failed to overthrow the Romans, will this man succeed? One of the 12 whom Jesus appointed apostles was Simon, and guess what his nickname was? The Zealot. Had he switched camps? Did he belong to one of the revolutionary bands? And did he see Jesus as a better bet? Jesus and his disciples are getting closer to Jerusalem, and Jesus shares his plans with his disciples. But it isn't what they expect. Did Jesus say, "We are going to Jerusalem, Is that on screen? Yes, it is. It's not on here. Okay. Did he say, we are going to Jerusalem and we will take the city by storm and we will establish the kingdom of heaven? No. What he actually said was this. We are going up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to be... Sorry, something happened there. Lost my sight. We're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. The disciples are confused. This is the third time Jesus has said something similar, but they don't understand what's going on. But then Jesus starts to organise his entry into Jerusalem, and it seems to make sense. We're back on track. Go into the next village, he says, pick up a donkey and the colt that's with him, with her, and bring them to me. The owner will let you have them. Some of the disciples probably recall Zechariah's prophecy. Say to the daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So, plans for this revolution are back on track. Jesus is going to go to Jerusalem, become king, and the Romans will be defeated. As the procession gets underway, so the crowds start to gather. They're caught up in this excitement and start to respond. They cover the ground with palm branches and coats and they cry out, Hosanna, save! And some who know their Bible even quote from Zechariah, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Sorry, that's not Zechariah, that's Psalm 118. Zechariah is coming. That was before that. Okay. So surely Jesus is the expected Messiah. Surely Jesus will rescue us from the Romans. Surely he is God's chosen king. And they entered the city. The crowds they met asked, What's all this uproar? Who is this, they ask. And the reply, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. So Jesus is the conquering king after all. Jesus is going to overthrow those Romans. Jesus is going to set up the kingdom of heaven. Samuel Crossman in the 17th century wrote in his hymn, My Song is Love Unknown, which we will sing later on, these words. Sometimes they strew his way, and his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day, hosannas to their king. Then crucify is all their breath, and for his death they thirst and cry. Jesus' words for them as they came into Jerusalem still resonate in their minds. It's worth repeating. We are going up to Jerusalem, tick, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Oops. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be flogged, mocked and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. That's not what we thought was going to happen. You know, this is the beginning of Passion Week for us. We will be retelling the story of Jesus and the disciples, which we know so well, don't we? The Passover supper in secret, the departure of Judas to betray Jesus, the short walk to Gethsemane, the prayers of agony in the garden, the arrival of the temple guard led by Judas, the mock trial in the high priest's house, the referral to Pilate, the Roman trial, the beating and the mocking, and the crucifixion. Everything would happen exactly as Jesus said it would. So what about this kingdom? What about Jesus being king? Do you know what? The disciples were right to proclaim him king, but the method, the timing, the whole program was completely different to that which the disciples thought. Now, during his trial, Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." No, Jesus' mission isn't regime change. It's not swap the Roman occupation for an independent Jewish kingdom. It's not even revolution in the usual sense. It's recreation. The path to the throne was by way of the cross. In order to be king, Jesus had to die. This is the second to the last part of that plan that Jesus had revealed to his disciples. The cross of Jesus is no unfortunate accident. It is central to the plan of salvation. And the last part of that plan is fundamental too. Jesus said, "On the third day, he, the Son of Man, will be raised to life." You know, the Roman occupation wasn't the real issue that faced those Jews. The real issue was their heart rebellion before God. And this wasn't the first time it happened. It was happening throughout history. Even as the nation of Israel was being formed, they were rebelling. Even as Moses was on that mountain receiving the covenant from God, they were down at the foot of the mountain worshipping an idol. And the issue for us is exactly the same. It is our heart rebellion against God. We as humans have dethroned God, and we have set ourselves up as king of our lives. So there has to be a revolution. There has to be a change of regime. Jesus is the conquering king. And how does he conquer? He conquered sin by dying. And he conquered death by rising again. You know, some of the old hymns that we sing explain this extremely well. Or we don't sing them anymore, actually, do we? Some of them. Listen to this verse. Jehovah, that's an old name for God that is not used anymore. "Jehovah lifted up his rod. O Christ, it fell on thee. Thou wast forsaken of thy God. No distance now for me. Thy blood beneath that rod has flowed, thy bruising healeth me." And then another hymn that we sing, "He Satan's power laid low, made sin he sin o'erthrew, bowed to the grave, destroyed it so, and death by dying slew." I love the old poetry in those hymns, especially the contrast, the absolute contradiction, death by dying slew. But that's not the important point. The important point is what Christ did. If we have set ourselves up as kings or queens of our own lives, if we reserve the right to make our own decisions and to please ourselves, and perhaps even just ask the Lord to bless it. We take the place that is rightfully his. And that is what the Bible calls sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he took on himself that sin, that condemnation, that rod of judgment, and by dying bore our punishment. And then he rose again and conquered death itself. This is just what Jesus told the disciples in the first place. So how do we respond to that? Well, I'm going to propose an ABC. Excuse me. First, accept that by nature we live to please ourselves and do not honour Jesus as King. Once we admit that and accept it, we then believe that Jesus has taken our place and he has conquered sin and death. And then finally, we crown him as King of our lives and live to please him constantly. I conclude with a verse from Galatians. Paul wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Shall we pray? Lord God, we come to you and we have already confessed before you that we have sinned against you by negligence, by ignorance, or by our own deliberate fault. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who did not assert his kingship, but submitted himself to that suffering, that death on the cross for us. Help us, Lord, to enthrone Jesus in our own lives as King. Amen.